The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
We're ready for some football, baby.
It's a Football Friday with the Boss.
I call shot like a boss.
In the gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
Welcome in, everybody. It is the Boston Gloss, David Gowan, Carla Dawson. Carla, great to be with you.
Oh, it's an awesome Friday morning.
Well, it is because...
Sports everywhere you look.
Sports Woo! Is everywhere. The cup runneth over. It is a great window. Of course, hot NBA action last night. Celtics falling to the Heat in a really contested game. A 17-point comeback for the Heat. Very exciting. We have to unpack that one later.
I think the Celtics and the Clippers need to get together at the end of the season and figure this stuff out. Let's have a team bonding, some Zen moments, how not to do this, huh?
That third quarter for the Celtics was just miserable.
Wow.
But credit the Heat. That is a team that does not slow down, does not give up. They just keep coming.
The Heat have mucho hambre. They want it.
And, of course, last night it was the return of Baker Mayfield. The Browns are going to the Super Bowl yet again.
Can we just talk about that later?
Okay.
We'll in the Battle of Ohio, I have my thoughts.
Well,
I loved the game. It was a great game.
Great game and a fun game with some really fun hype in that you have two number one overall draft picks in Joe Burrow and Baker Mayfield. And, yeah, I think Baker probably felt the fact that he was facing Joe Burrow, and there would be natural comparisons since they both went number one overall.
As much as you can have a must-win in week two of the NFL, that's what the Browns were facing. And, hey, give them credit. They did it. It wasn't pretty, but they did it. So
those long-suffering Brown fans, they have really tolerated a long, difficult run.
But I'm going to make you talk about that later because you're a Baker man.
Well, I thought he was exceptional in college, but he has not been prolific in the NFL. I will say I thought Joe Burrow showed well.
He did 61 pass attempts.
Well, they're asking
61.
To ask that of a rookie quarterback who did not get a preseason. I mean, that's really amazing that the Bengals have put that much on the shoulders of Joe Burrow.
No, it's so true. Over 300 yards. I thought he looked really composed. It was interesting to see him say, I don't know that I've ever lost two games in a row. Losing is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it may
Welcome
be a little
to the
while.
Life of the Bengals. But I see that there is light at the end of that tunnel. They've got a lot of inexperience. And, you know, let's see what Zach Taylor can do with these guys.
All right. When we come back, we will unpack last night's game. We're going to take a close look at Baker Mayfield and the Browns. Do they now have the pieces to put together a playoff run? That up next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's a Football Friday with the Boss.
In the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, everybody. And I am delighted to be sitting next to Carla Dawson. And I guess you almost didn't make it today.
Oh my gosh, it's been a rough week.
But what happened?
Blue Emu saved me.
What do you mean?
So I'm working out with your bride. She's my workout partner. And my trainer hands me a medicine ball, which is usually what I do, those slam downs. You know, you squat down, slam
200-pound medicine ball,
yeah,
I'm sure.
And it raises like a quarter of an inch off the floor or whatever. Well, it was an 8-pound, not medicine ball, 8-pound basketball that went down and smack up into my jaw.
Oops.
Yeah, so after I checked to make sure all my teeth were intact and I woke up like in a nanosecond after that hit, the whole left side of my face was killing me. I couldn't chew that day, but I went home, I put on Blue Emu and I cannot have smelling. Like that would be terrible. It's on my face.
No, the gloss does not stink.
No, we
never,
cannot
ever,
stink.
Ever. You would not do that.
So I love me some Blue Emu because no one knew I had it on. I put it on my lower jaw there. The color is bright blue, but it blends in clear.
And your skin's almost blue anyway.
Well,
That's another matter.
There's another thing we have to talk about. But no, truly by lunchtime, I was able to chew. This was a miracle. So I owe Blue Emu. It could have been not a good situation.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have been able to come in here and do the show.
I know, you thought you were solo. You thought you were getting a gift. But no, Blue Emu has got me back on the mic, chewing, ready to go, and talking up a storm.
Blue Emu, no chill, no burn, no odor, and it's made in America. So go get it, Blue Emu. It will fix what ails you. Okay, somebody who got fixed last night was Baker Mayfield.
They were ailed week one.
I mean, listen,
against Baltimore.
Last year, his second season in the NFL was about as rough a year as I've seen for a quarterback who had that much hype and heralded all across the league. He was going to do so many great things. And last year was just miserable. And then week one last week, it looked like he was off the rails still. But last night, you saw maybe the potential for what the Browns could be, and Baker's numbers were good. Is he back?
The team's back. Let me, this is overreaction week two, of course, but it's the second game of the season. After being dismantled 38-6 by the Baltimore Ravens, not a surprise.
Yep.
Kevin Stefanski got it. He got it. He knew what his quarterback needed. He knew what the team needed. When you have a running back tandem of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, you got to use them. And they did last night, and they did a balanced attack, a lot of play-action pass by Baker Mayfield, which bodes well for him. He had 219 yards passing. Chubb and Hunt combined for 210 yards rushing and three touchdowns. Baker had two touchdowns and, of course, got to have an interception because you're Baker Mayfield. But overall, the Cleveland Browns looked good last night. But the Bengals tend to make teams look good. So while I think they did what they needed to do, I think Kevin Stefanski, I give him all the credit for realizing, for really turning around what they didn't do in week one. But let's dial it back a little bit. Sorry, Joe Buck. He's not the next Brett Favre yet.
Hey,
do a little more there.
Come on. There was some hype there.
And here's what I say. When the announcers on Thursday Night Football can talk about just the chip on his shoulder, Baker's chip on his shoulder really motivates him, why aren't you talking about how he moves in the pocket? Why aren't you talking about his accuracy? Why aren't you talking about his speed? Oh, yeah, because none of that's there. So let's talk about the chip on his shoulder. He did what he needed to do. I thought he had a very good game for him, and he was helped out by a fantastic run game, honestly, and Bengals.
No, that run game was exceptional, particularly on that final long drive when the Bengals got within one score. And now the pressure really is on that Browns offense to try to have basically a five-minute drive, chew up the clock, put one more score on the board. And they didn't even really need to throw the pass. Baker was able to hand the ball off to those two backs, and they were exceptional.
Had a 33-yard run on that last drive. 33 yards!
To be able to run at that time of the game, when everyone's expecting you to run and try to chew off the clock, that was very, very impressive by the Browns. It was a good night for Baker Mayfield. The play action serves him well.
It does.
The one pick was the one thing you'd come back to and say, why did he make that mistake? It was not a moment to take a risk. Browns were in control of the game. They had the lead. That interception enabled the Bengals to get back into the game. And that's the one thing you'd say, Baker, well, in that regard, he may be like Brett Favre in that it was a little bit reckless. I mean, when I would pick apart Brett Favre, when I'd be unhappy with Brett Favre,
it's
because occasionally he would just be careless with the football and he was turnover prone. And Mayfield showed that at a bad, bad moment last night.
Well, I think that was the hit the brakes reminder that, hey, he's doing a great job. He's still got a ways to go.
Well, and the notion that the reason he played well last night is he came in with a chip on his shoulder. I find that so odd because, of course, if he didn't have a chip on his shoulder last year, I mean, they were losing week after week after week. Everyone was writing him off. The negativity around Baker was huge. Why didn't he have a chip last year? Why didn't he have a chip week one coming into year three when he'd had an awful year two? Why didn't he have a chip last week? To say now he's had a chip on his shoulder and he's going to beat the Bengals, I don't buy that. I think, as you said, it was Stefanski putting together all the right pieces around. Because, again, we've said this for now at least a year, the Browns do have a lot of talent on that team.
Both sides of the
ball.
Their
line is no longer a weak spot. They've got the great running backs. Of course, the receivers in Landry and OBJ.
Yep.
Good tight ends. And then, yes, both sides of the ball, the defense is there with Garrett and Ward. It's an exceptional group. And hopefully Stefanski can put it all together. Because I say this, nobody deserves a winner more than those Brown fans. They have been at this a long time.
I mean, and this is coming from a Cowboys fan and a Raiders fan. We have had our share of a lot.
When was the last championship for the Raiders or the Cowboys? Forever ago.
For the Cowboys, over 20 years.
Well, you don't have Raiders to rub that in. But the point is, yeah, the Browns have been suffering forever. I remember Brian Sipe throwing passes for the Browns. They were good back then. I remember Bernie Kosar. But I'm sorry, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time. So in the Battle of...
You weren't born in those days with Sipe and Kosar.
Thank goodness. In the Battle of Ohio, you know, the Browns are on top this morning. But, you know, you look at how important the running game has become in the NFL. You know, rushing yards last night, 217 for Cleveland versus 68 for Cincinnati.
Well, I am blown away at how much they relied on Joe Burrow. They're asking so much.
61 pass attempts.
61 passes.
Almost a rookie record, second.
In his second game, he had no preseason games. And Zach Taylor has basically said the whole offense is going through your hands.
And he's right about that. I mean, Joe Burrow threw for 316 yards last night and three touchdowns. I mean, that is so impressive for a rookie for his second game. And I love what Joe Burrow said, that I don't think I've ever lost two games in a row in my career, and it doesn't feel good. I don't like it.
Right.
And he's a gamer, and he doesn't need a chip on his shoulder. So, you know, I think something to look at, too, with Cleveland is you look at OBJ. So week one, he was 3 of 10. He was targeted 10 times, only made 3 catches, including dropping a critical, very easy, very catchable 3-and-2. And he was visibly frustrated after the game. Shocking. This week, he still wasn't. He had 4 catches last night. He was targeted more times. But he seemed really happy. Like, it was like, wow, is this what we're going to see? Maybe he's decided he can be a team player.
Hey, winning cures all
ails.
Sure
does.
Going back, I was very impressed by Joe Burrow because, yes, they're asking so much of him. But what I was impressed by, and the Bengals fans should take heart here, he has a poise.
He has a
calm in the pocket that is really notable. Remember the old John Wooden quote, which was, be quick, but don't hurry. He moves around in the pocket very well, but he doesn't seem like he's hurrying himself. He's always deliberate about everything that he's doing. And he had this great way of staying in the pocket long enough, seeing if that first pass opportunity, second pass opportunity out of the pocket's there. But then if not, he'd drift out of the pocket, buy himself some time, and sometimes make a throw downfield, sometimes just throw it away without any real angst. The guy has some moxie to him. I think he's really going to be a good fit with the Bengals.
No, I agree completely. And things like he had a beautiful, you know, he had some pressure outside of the pocket and needed to throw it away. He threw in the direction of his receiver, all good. Baker Mayfield, who's in his third year in the league, did it and got intentional grounding. I mean, just didn't even have the same poise as the rookie to know exactly what to do with pressure in the pocket. So, outside of the pocket. So, it was a great performance by Joe Burrow. I really do think. And I think the Bengals have got some promise. I mean, that was a good game, 35-30.
Great game. Great Thursday Night Football. We're going to break here, but when we come back, we're going to get a visit from Robert Mays. He is from The Athletic. He's host of a new podcast called The Athletic Football Show. And we're going to ask Robert Mays about the big matchup, Cam Newton versus Russell Wilson.
Oh, that's going to be good.
Who has the top billing there? It's the Pats and the Seahawks. And we'll get Robert Mays to weigh in when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Don't let a bad battery leave you stranded. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery free of charge. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery for your car or truck at guaranteed low prices. Keep your vehicle on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us here on The Boss and the Gloss is Robert Mays. He is a writer at The Athletic, and he's host of a new podcast, The Athletic Football Show. Robert, thank you for joining us. You're on with David and Carla.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Well, we are excited to talk all things NFL with you, and looking ahead this weekend, the matchup between the Patriots and the Seahawks has turned our head. We're really engaged in that one. Cam Newton and Russell Wilson. Who gives you the most confidence coming to that game?
I think it has to be Russell Wilson. And when you consider how he played last week coming off of the season that he had, I mean, he's playing as well as Bill Belichick said earlier this week, just about as well as any quarterback in the league right now. I mean, I think one of the biggest questions about that Seahawks team in general was whether or not they would shift toward a more pass-happy approach, considering they have one of the best quarterbacks in the world. And in fact, they led the NFL in situation-neutral passing rate last week. It's good news. It's good news for anyone that wants to see that offense and Russell Wilson flourish.
Yeah, you know, Robert, you've got Russell Wilson as a six-time Pro Bowler and has never had one single vote for an NFL MVP. So I love that Belichick is bringing that up. But let me ask you, Belichick throwing this huge verbal bouquet to Russell Wilson, I mean, that he was effusive in his compliments of Russell Wilson to the media. And before week one, was very effusive in the same way to Cam Newton. We never heard this out of Belichick for Tom Brady. What gives here?
Well, I mean, I think we've heard it a lot with opposing players. I mean, I wrote something for The Ringer maybe 3 or 4 years ago, where there was kind of a list of Bill Belichick's man crushes. Like Larry Fitzgerald was on there, Ed Reed. Bill Belichick loves Ed Reed more than my parents loved me, I think, when you consider some of the things that we've been talking about with Ed Reed in the past. So I do think that's happened. And also think that Bill Belichick is good at managing his personnel. And when you consider some of the things that were said about Cam Newton before he came to New England, some of kind of the debunked concerns that people might have had about a fit with the culture, or, you know, is he going to be able to jive with the guys in the locker room, just the way they approach things there. I think he wanted to make very clear that Cam Newton is a hard worker. He's somebody that really does fit what we want to do. So I think that things were probably on the outside perceived in such a way that was not true, that he felt the need to kind of write the ship there and kind of tell the true story. With Brady, I don't think he ever felt like he needed to manage Tom like that. So I feel like Belichick is probably has this reputation as this hardline guy. But good managers understand they need to manage people differently, and I think that he gets that.
Okay, talking about manage people differently, Bruce Arians, very openly critical of Tom Brady's performance of week one against New Orleans. You know, he told the media, he needs to bring some more grit and determination, and was very open about he didn't do the stuff he was doing in practice. Is that fair? Can Arians do that? And how do you think Brady is perceiving that?
And that's a good question. I'm assuming it'll be okay. I mean, that's just kind of how Bruce is. He's really liable to say anything at any time, and I'm sure Tom knows that. You know, there's a give and take. You know, everything that you've seen from whatever Tom Brady has said, things that I've heard, the same way that he's kind of portraying himself out to the public, is that he's having a pretty good time down there with Bruce and how things go and just how different the culture probably feels. So if you want kind of a looser environment on a day-to-day basis, sometimes you might have to take the coach saying something you are not necessarily ready for, something different than what you've experienced in the past. So overall, I think if they start playing well, none of this is going to matter.
We're talking to Robert Maids. You can read him at theathletic.com. He's also the host of a new podcast called The Athletic Football Show. Robert Maids, go hear him. Robert, I want to ask you about the Cowboys. They put up 17 points against the Rams. That offense came in much heralded, and some people criticized them after the game as that the offense lacked creativity. It looked more like a Jason Garrett offense than a new Mike McCarthy offense. Kellen Moore, of course, the common point there. Do you think the Cowboys' offense is going to be able to get on track this week?
I think they'll be okay. I mean, again, we talked about the Falcons and what Russell Wilson did to them last week. If you're going to get on track, this is a good team to do it against. You know, we have to give other teams credit here, and I think the Rams played extremely well last week. I think they had a really good game plan. They more or less dared the Cowboys to run the ball. They ran a lot of too high safeties that prevented throws down the field. And they got after Dak Prescott. I mean, the right side of that Cowboys offensive line is clearly a problem with Lyle Collins out. And you know, guys that aren't necessarily top-edge pass rushers, they managed to get after them. So they forced the issue getting the ball out of Dak's hands. They didn't let them move the ball downfield. So I think that that's probably not going to happen every week. I have a feeling when this Cowboys team gets back to fuller strength and they get healthy when Lyle Collins is back, everything else, they're going to hit their stride just fine. So after week one against a team that has Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald, and Brandon Staley looks like a pretty good defensive coordinator in his first go-around for the Rams, I'm not concerned about the Cowboys quite yet.
Okay, one of the games that popped out at us from last week, the Cardinals going up to the Bay Area and defeating the 49ers. Kyler Murray looked great. Hopkins looked great in that offense. Is it now time to consider the Cardinals a playoff contender?
I think they could be, just based on how the ceiling of that offense in year two. I thought that they got by on some weird stuff against the 49ers last week. Their game plan was clearly that they were not going to get Kyler hit. They were throwing the ball extremely fast, getting the ball out of his hands. They ran a lot of screens the same way they did last year. I mean, his average depth of target, I want to say, was like 5 yards down the field. So that was not the type of passing game they probably want week to week. Kyler did most of the work last week for his legs. It was really just throws to DeAndre Hopkins and scrambles is what won them that game. And I think if you can have that in your bag, that's a good thing, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen week to week. I'm really curious to see what they're going to look like just in terms of approach against a team that doesn't have quite as dominant of a front as the Niners do.
So, Robert, without DeAndre Hopkins, we saw the Texans week one get dismantled by the Chiefs, and now they face the Ravens. They've got arguably the toughest four-game schedule in the NFL. Do you think there's any way – tell me what you think of the Texans' offense, and do you think there's any way that Bill O'Brien is not calling plays again this year?
Well, I think Tim Kelly has taken over a large chunk of that role for them, and I think the offense looked very similar to what we saw last season. So, and that's probably not a good thing,
right?
When you consider just, you know, how stagnant some of their concepts looked and how much they relied on Hopkins and Watson. To me, it might be a disaster this week again, because I just don't think they match up very well with the Ravens. You know, you look at that Ravens defense. If they have four cornerbacks that could probably start for any other team, when you think about Marlon Humphrey, Jimmy Smith, and Tavon Young. All of those guys are starting caliber corners. They can trot those guys out whenever they want to. And when you consider the strengths of the Texans offense, you have those three receivers. So, I mean, if you can blanket those guys and send heat after Deshaun Watson, that Texans offense is not set up to deal with that. So it's rough. I mean, if they're not going to show anything different than what they showed last year and they're going to have worse personnel, I'm not sure how you can expect a better result.
No, I agree. And they could not stop the run against the Ravens. And, you know, minus Jadeveon Clowney and minus J.J. Watt at his height, it doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon. So I hope I'm wrong.
I mean, the defense, I think, could be a serious problem.
Yeah.
They do not have much talent on that side of the ball. And I actually had this conversation with Aaron Reese, our athletic Texans writer, this week on our podcast. When you build a team for certainty, when you trade away draft picks for veterans, and when you sign mid-tier free agents to kind of come in and be plug-and-play guys, such as a Randall Cobb, for instance, you get certainty, but you have nowhere to go. You limit your ceiling, and because you know what these guys are, there's no room for growth. There just aren't very many ascending players on that Texans team because they've traded away a lot of picks and used a lot of resources on guys to come in and play right away. So, I mean, what this Texans team is probably what they're going to be, and I think that's a scary proposition.
We're talking to Robert Mays. He's a writer for The Athletic. Robert, I want to ask you about the Eagles. Carson Wentz, the Eagles seemingly had that game, and Carson Wentz let it slip away. Are there now concerns about him and his health and that team? I mean, their line is beat up. Where do you see the Eagles going?
I think last week was a strange game. I mean, it really did not set up well for them. You have a really good Washington front. I mean, yep. Chase Young aside, you still have good players that have already been there. And I think a really good game plan from the Washington defensive staff. I mean, it really sent heat knowing that the bodies up front for Philly would be different. They might have trouble communicating. So I just think that was a really kind of, they kind of ran into a buzzsaw. It was a terrible situation. Now you get Lane Johnson back, you get Miles Sanders back. Lane Johnson has said he's not going to be 100%, which I think is something to keep an eye on. But even Lane Johnson at 70% is better than a rookie that you really weren't ready to throw out there. So if they get back to fuller strength, if they have Lane Johnson, if they have Miles Sanders, their communication up front can be a little bit better. Do we see a more competent Eagles passing game? I was disappointed last week, not only in the results, but in the fact that they clearly could not protect up front, and they kept pushing the ball downfield. And I think DeSean Jackson's average air yards per target last week was 29 on his 7 targets. When you can't block anybody, pushing the ball down the field consistently doesn't seem like the best approach. So I think they're trying to figure out their footing in terms of what they want to be offensively, and I think getting some of their better players back is definitely going to help them do that.
Fair enough. That's Robert Mays. Robert, thank you so much for joining us here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Absolutely.
You can hear Robert's podcast. It's the Athletic Football Show. You can also read him at theathletic.com. That was great to have Robert Mays with us. We will be right back. You're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's a Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network,
presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back in, and we get to go out to the Progressive Insurance guest line and tell you that drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Well, joining us on the guest line is Reed Fowler. He is a PGA and NFL analyst for DraftKings. DraftKings, of course, the official fantasy site for the NFL. Reed, thanks for joining us. You're on with David and Carla.
Guys, how you doing?
Well, we are doing great. And this is a good moment to get you on to talk a little PGA.
Yeah.
Winged Foot. Boy, it's such an interesting beginning to that tournament. Tell me what happened to Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, these guys. There were big bets that they were going to be right there on day four.
Yeah. That's kind of a betting 101, right, is so much of the public sentiment, especially in a major tournament, right, the Masters, U.S. Open, PGA, and the Open Championship, you get so many of the quote-unquote casual bettors, people that just want to watch and maybe have something on the tournament, right, to just kind of bolster their experience. And so many people go to the guys that they know. We see Ricky Fowler, guys like Tiger and Phil that might not be exactly set for this course or for that specific tournament, get a lot of money and a lot of bets because they're just popular players, right? And that's perfectly fine. If you want to watch because it's entertainment, then that there's more, it's more power to you, and there's no problem with that. But Tiger and Phil, when you look at this specific course coming into it, they had it had a tough hill ahead of them, because as we're seeing right now too, this course is going to get a lot harder as the days progress.
Yet, of course, there were a lot of low scores in round one. You don't think those low scores are going to continue? You think it's going to get harder as we go?
Oh yeah, we're already seeing in the early groups that. There was a tweet that I saw earlier this morning that the first handful of groups, maybe the first dozen or half dozen, were already at plus 25 aggregate, as opposed to yesterday where we saw more than a dozen guys finish under par. What's going to happen today is I'm sure the greens got shaved a little bit last night, maybe in the darkness of night, the greenskeepers went out there and started shaving it. You're going to see the wind pick up a lot today. And they were saying that a lot of the superintendents of the course might have been set up a little bit easier yesterday just to ensure that the guys got done before it got dark. Well, when that wind picks up and these greens are going to be extremely fast, you're going to see a lot of these scores get a lot higher than they were yesterday.
We're talking to Reed Fowler. He is a PGA and NFL analyst for DraftKings. DraftKings, of course, the official site for the NFL. Let me ask you about a golfer that you would pick who you think has value to win the tournament. Is there somebody you'd highlight, you think there's real value to make a bet on now?
Right now, well, I mean, what's always great about, and I was actually working with their DK Sportsbook team to see if we can gather some data. The PGA Championship was our most bet on tournament in total, but so much of the action came in tournament, right, when the tournament was actually going on.
Yep.
You saw guys like Matt Wolf on Sunday blitz the field and almost, right, and very close, he started with the lead. Colin Morikawa, after day one, was at like plus 16,000, 160-1, right, to win that tournament. John Rahm, the same way when the Memorial Tournament happened. So this is where you can really get value in your players. And what you want to do is find the guys that hit the ball well, but just couldn't make their putts. We know that putts can, a lot of your fans out there in the audience, you know, when you're putting them, you can make one putt that you didn't expect to make and then strike another putt really well the very next hole and it not go in. So that, margin of discrepancy can switch day to day, hole to hole. And that's what you really want to find. And guys like Dustin Johnson, the number one golfer in the world right now, he hit the ball fantastic, but just couldn't make any putts, right? We see that in this tournament specifically, we get the longer shots or we get the huge swings in momentum and score because of how difficult this course is. Dustin Johnson right now, a plus 20 or plus 2,000 or 20-1 to win the golf tournament isn't necessarily bad because he's going out early. He's playing a lot. He's playing better than he was. He's putting better than he was yesterday. He started the tournament 8-1, so you're getting potential value there because we know that he's the number one golfer in the world for a reason, and he can rattle off a lot of good scores and a lot of good birdies when he needs to.
Makes absolute sense. We're talking to Reed Fowler of DraftKings. Let's shift gear to the NFL. What game do you expect to be the most heavily bet this Sunday?
Well, you're all getting Dallas, right? Dallas is the heaviest sentiment of when you talk about football, right? Dallas is the Tiger Woods of the NFL in terms of the betting market,
right?
Just because that's such a big team, right? You see Dallas as one of those. The Patriots are another team. Maybe not so much this year, but they're another team. The Packers are also another team that's always heavily bet on. But I would argue, especially going against Atlanta, they're 5-point favorites there. That's going to be a shootout. That's a game that I really, really am excited to be watching. I would actually go more on the over, the 53.5, as opposed to trying to figure out who's going to win this game. And the reason being is Dallas has lost more than I think we see on defense. They just let Malcolm Brown run have a pretty successful game against them on Sunday night. And now you bring in Todd Gurley, who looked a lot. He looked closer to the Todd Gurley that we were used to when he was with St. Louis / Los Angeles with the Rams there. And I'm still a little, I can't really figure out the Cowboys' defense right now. They lost Jeff Heath, Malik in free agency. Leighton Vander Esch is out for the next handful of weeks with that collarbone injury. So that's the game that I'm going to see that's probably going to be the most bet on.
Reed, in your opinion, what impact do you think has the lack of fans had on the game?
Yeah, that one's, I would say in terms of betting, the home favorites aren't necessarily home favorites because of the fans. And I forget who mentioned it in the NBA when they were talking about the bubble, is that when you're in the zone, nothing can distract you or get you out of the zone, right? There's no fans there. The players are professionals, so it's not going to take someone on the other side chirping in their ear to get them out of the zone. I think that's so true, especially with quarterbacks and wide receivers, that connection. When you have the fans there on defense, that's a huge, right? We always hear about it with Seattle and the 12th man. That's such a huge momentum change. And so with the quarterbacks and especially their connections with the wide receivers of the visiting team, it's going to be a lot easier for them to know that. And then on top of that, when we were watching that Rams-Cowboys game last night, they mentioned that Sean McVay is going to be in Jared Goff's ear for as long as possible, all the way up until that connection gets cut off. And he's going to be able to hear what McVay is saying. Right, so you don't get that crowd noise that's deafening in some places, and that's the biggest effect, right? In terms of the play, we can talk about all the other stuff that with fans involved and what it means in terms of the organization moving forward. But in terms of the play on the field, I think that's the biggest difference.
Great, and Reed, do you think it's smart to lay 7 or more points on the Ravens or the Chiefs this weekend with both teams quote on the road?
Yeah. Oh man, I mean, talk about the Ravens not losing a step, right? And maybe, like, the Browns looked pretty good, so maybe it's Cincinnati's defense that's not that great.
I think it's Cincinnati's defense.
right, me too. But, boy, how good do the Ravens look right now, man? They just have not lost a step. Baltimore is in a fantastic spot. I would say the Chiefs, though. I would lay more, and I'd feel a little bit more confident in the Chiefs. Because talk about a team that might go back-to-back, right? Like both of those teams in the AFC, but especially the Chiefs, when they have a young player that is so exciting to watch in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, just really fitting into that offense. And the Chargers, talk about the Chargers' defense and their offense now. Again, the Chargers' curse of just injuries depleting that team. That's the one I'm scared of. Houston, like they've shown that they can play up to the competition. I don't know if they can sustain it, but I would go with the Chiefs, even though it's a division matchup and the Chargers always play the Chiefs tough. Man, the Chiefs look so good.
We're talking to Reed Fowler of DraftKings, the official fantasy site for the NFL. All right, I want to ask you, I just got to indulge my co-host here. She's a rabid Raiders fan. Raiders, of course.
Ooh, Princess of Darkness. Too. Oh, yes, Reed. We're best friends.
Yes, maybe
for sure.
Best friends.
Maybe I should just leave the room now. I'll let you two talk.
Yeah, Reed and I've got business to do here.
Well, I mean, it's a big game Monday night.
It's a big game.
And an opener in Vegas. Really exciting. What's the spread, and where should Carla place her bet objectively? Because she's not objective otherwise about this team.
Reed, I know you got my back on this one.
Right. Carla, I mean, the Las Vegas Raiders, let's just crown them champions of the NFL.
Yes.
The single greatest organization
yes.
in sports. No. Fandom aside, right, because that's what especially with the Raiders, right? There's these teams, the Raiders, I would say the Raiders, Cowboys, Patriots, Packers, right? The fandom is so strong, and you have to take emotion out of it if you want to look at it from a practical sense, which is hard to say as a Raiders fan. Because
exactly.
How do you take emotion out of you know watching and reacting to everything that the Raiders do? But right, having said that, at home, this is the one spot, right? What I'm talking about when we talk about home field advantage, that you're in a new stadium, and so much is going to be like the Raiders are going to have more to play for. I don't think that they're 5.5-point dogs right now, but at the same time, I'd rather see that, Carla, go up to probably 6, 6.5, just to be safe, because the sentiment is down the Saints, right? Michael Thomas out with that high ankle sprain. But look who they still got. They still got number 9 back there. They still got Alvin Kamara. Emmanuel Sanders comes over in free agency. Traquan Smith is a great young player that I really enjoy. And Jared Cook, right? Maybe it's a revenge game for Jared Cook, that tight end that was with the Raiders for a little bit, but now with the Saints. Objectively, I would say that I would rather go with the over 49.5 on that just to be safe. And maybe look at the player props. If Ruggs is able to go, if he's not, the injury is not going to ail him too much, I'd be looking at the player props more so than the line right now. But boy, the Raiders, I'm just so excited for this team to be in this. And again, before I wanted the Raiders to stay in Oakland just because I've been a fan my entire
Same. I'm a
life.
Cradle Raider fan. Yes, exactly.
Right. So the traditionalist in me says I want them to stay in Oakland just because they just belong in Oakland. But at the same time, this is going to allow them, you know, in terms of free agency, to acquire a lot of free agents because, you know, the tax implications in Nevada is very different than they are in California. So when you start talking about it from a business standpoint and from a future free agency acquisition standpoint, I think the Raiders are in a good spot. But tonight, or on Monday with the Saints, I would stay away from that 5.5 and wait till it gets a little bit higher, Carla.
And Reed, do you give any advantage to the fact that there's going to be a 95-foot Al Davis torch in Allegiant Stadium?
Oh,
what?
Just staring
yes.
at
what?
The Saints. Oh, yes.
Oh, you're paying homage to the past.
Yeah, Carla, it's a commitment to excellence. It's, you know, just win, baby.
Just win, baby.
Yeah.
Yes.
Speed everything, baby.
It means
yeah,
light it up. That's Al Davis saying, light it up, baby. Just win. I like it, Reed.
Yep.
Great.
That's
great
Reed Fowler. Fun. Reed, you're going to have to come back and join us. We really appreciate your time and your insights. That's Reed Fowler, a PGA and NFL analyst for DraftKings. And, of course, DraftKings is the official fantasy site for the NFL. Reed, thanks again for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Of course, guys. Take care.
Listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network,
presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Dow
and Carla Dawson.
So that song should light you up, Carla.
That's
get
the
ready for
anthem.
Monday night. That's the Raiders anthem. I can still feel like I'm watching an NFL film.
Oh, it's
and
like on the wind.
Ken Stabler and John Madden, whose stomach is flowing out of his shirt, and everybody animated jumping up and down. All the old Raiders.
What's it called? I can't remember.
I think the song is called the Raiders. Is it not, Ron?
Autumn wind.
Autumn wind. What did I say? I said it's something with wind.
Yep. The autumn wind.
Oh, man. Yes.
But it did, although it may be autumn wind, it was the song they used to play for the Raiders.
It's only for the Raiders, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the Raiders anthem. And, you know, Hard Knocks is every week. Opened up with this song every week.
Oh, did
episode.
It really?
Yes,
it so did. They were featured.
I'm playing this because are you excited for, what is it? I can't remember what the Vegas stadium's called.
Allegiant Stadium. The Death Star.
Darth Vader Death Star.
I am so excited. It is going to be a little strange to have this debut in an empty stadium.
Yes, it will be.
But it is beautiful. And I'm most excited, as I mentioned with Reed Fowler from DraftKings, to see the 95-foot Al Davis torch.
Now, they got a Golden Knights performance it up, right?
Yes. Yes.
Like, you know, when you watch the Vegas Golden Knights, their pregame ceremony, I mean, the ice falls apart. It turns into lava. I mean, they do all these theatrics because it's Vegas. They have to do this for the Raiders
game. It's a Davis-owned team. There are going to be theatrics, Ron. Okay. I guarantee you.
Do they really have a statue of Al Davis set up outside the stadium?
No, it's a torch inside the stadium.
It's a torch.
95 feet tall, and it's called the Al Davis torch.
That.
Light him on fire.
Doesn't have his likeness.
No. It doesn't have the zippered jumpsuit. No, the black and silver jumpsuit. That's not part of it. But.
Well, it has been amazing to watch the build out of new stadiums. Of course, in Los Angeles, they've got a pretty big, great stadium out there they've just unveiled.
Right.
But in Vegas, this one really fits the nature of that team. It's all black. It does look like a Death Star.
It does. It is the perfect Raider stadium. Commitment to excellence, baby.
Well, next hour, we're going to get to talk to our correspondent on the ground in Las Vegas. It will be Suzanne Hobbs of Boomer Naturals. We'll talk a little Raider football with her.
And I just want to thank Ron for the Raider anthem. That was big of him. A Chargers fan to do that for me. Ron's my best friend.
All right, you're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.